That is the coolest thing ever. Y'all, did y'all hear that? Just when y'all ready, it's time to start. Everybody gets quiet. That's very cool. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. So excited to be here with you today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. A way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and fill it out, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, when you are done, send it back to where it got started, please. And then when it reaches that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for doing that. A couple other announcements. It is Revival Week. We're very excited about Revival. Randy is here. He's already started this morning, and we're looking forward to a great week together. Just a reminder, every evening this week, 6 o'clock, we are having dinner in Smith Hall. Tonight is a covered dish supper, so bring something to share. At 7 o'clock, services will start under the tent. And so I think the tent looks good.
57 degrees by then.
It's going to be 57.
The weatherman would not lie.
It's going to be 57 degrees. The weatherman would not lie. And it'll be sunny, right?
Sunny. Yeah.
Sunny. All right. So make note and grab a neighbor, grab a friend. If your neighbor's not your friend or your friend's not your neighbor, just bring them anyway. We are looking forward to a great time together. Several things listed in your bulletin. Just draw your attention to a couple of those things. Schedule there on the back. Because of the Revival stuff, our schedule is different. Like no afternoon activities for youth, for music, everything centering around the Revival. No grace notes on Tuesday. Other things are listed there there in the bulletin. So. Raymond needs your help. Two men.
It's all on you,
man. Oh, great. He just told me. Two men from 2 until 8 in the morning. That's a.m. That's when it's dark outside. 2 to 8 o'clock in the morning, we will provide television entertainment. We'll provide food. We'll provide money. No money. But... So we do need two men to stay out with the equipment from 2 until 8 o'clock. We will have a heater. We will have a heater. So, and tonight. All right. Can they pack heat? Is that? Oh, they have heaters. Okay. All right. Very good. So we do need some help protecting that equipment out there. So thank you for that. There are other things listed there in your bulletin. We're very excited about what's happening in the life of College Park. We're very thankful for our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information you gave us a moment ago on the pew pad. We'd like to give something to you. So just raise your hand if you're a guest with us this morning. Our ushers will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. The truth of the matter doesn't, if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's sunny outside, God is still alive. Weather does not dictate our mood. It's who our daddy is and what he's called us to. This morning, are you excited to be here? Because we are with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and he has something for us to do. He has called us by name to do his work. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Father, you are a good God, a God who did not sit idly by, but you came and walked among us. You faced the temptations. You faced the struggles. Jesus, your son, walked this earth. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, being in this place, being in our lives, we have the strength to walk this earth. May we do it with the same mercy and grace and compassion that he did. May we come with everything that we are, everything that we have, to worship you. For that's what Jesus did. He gave everything. thing for us. So hear us as we worship. Be in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, come on down. We'll wait. Oh, here they come. Look at all these kids that are coming down. What are they doing out of the choir loft? You kids are always causing trouble. All right. I have a question. Everybody, I need everybody looking this way. Crisscross applesauce. I have a question. Does anyone know what this is? It's a ring. Now, I wear this ring on this finger all the time. Does anybody know why?
Even at night.
Even at night. Does anybody know why?
Wedding ring.
It's my wedding ring. Now,
I
Well, when Miss Jennifer and I got married, we gave each other rings. And it's a symbol, or maybe this is a better word, a promise. Do you know what a promise is? When you promise something, what are you doing? You promise to do something, like clean up your room. I promise, I'll do it. What else do we promise to do? Clean your toys, right? When we make a promise, we say we're going to do something, and you can count on it. I promise that I will always love you. That's what I told Miss Jennifer. When I gave her rings, I promised I'm going to take care of you. I'm always going to love you. And this reminds me, when I put this on my finger, when I look, I remember that promise that I made. Do you know, there's some pretty cool promises that God makes for us. There's one in particular that I remember. There's a symbol or something that God made in the Old Testament around Noah. Do y'all remember the symbol that God put in the sky? The rainbow. God promised to always take care of us, right? Just like this ring, I promise to always take care of Miss Jennifer and Matthew because they're my family. The rainbow reminds us God's always here. Even when we're scared, even when we don't know what's going on, even when it's raining outside or it's a thunderstorm, even when you're sleeping, God is always there. Isn't that a cool promise to remember? And that he loves you no matter what, he's always there for you. So, when you see somebody who has a ring on like this, or you see the rainbow in the sky, I want you to remember, God's always there. Can you say that with me? God's always there. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are always here. You are with us, and you love us, and you want us to go out into the world and make a difference. Be kind to people. People at our schools. People at home, in our neighborhoods. There are so many people that we could be nice to show them how much you love us. Help us to remember the promise of the rainbow. And that you're always here. In Jesus' name we pray.
Steps in your Good morning.
Morning.
With all the excitement circling around the revival, I thought it was only fitting that we think about what a great day and how many thanks we should give. The Lord has given us blessings as well as the ability to share, learn, and grow over the next few days with this message. Please join me in this prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we join with you this morning on another awesome day that you have given us. It is my prayer that you continue to bless all of us with the love and compassion of our fellow friends and neighbors as we continue to lift you up in praise. Please show us your desired path and allow us your grace to achieve the goals you have set for us. Please let your light shine on each of us as we praise you this morning, and you let your message enter our ears, minds, and our hearts. Let your word resound in each of us and continue to live in us. I pray for you to continue to lift up Raymond as well as Randy as they deliver and teach us new and exciting messages in your word. I pray that everyone here, as well as our neighbors, friends, and visitors, be uplifted and open to the message that we will hear. I ask that you and the Holy Spirit enters each of us and fills us with your hope and love. It is in your holy name that I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Mark chapter 2. Y'all did a good job. Take a lap. You did a good job. And I sure hope it's warm tonight. Because trust me, if it's cold, the preaching will be short. As we preach on Jesus wept. Yeah, so it's going to be quick. Boy, it's good to be back, and so thrilled to be here. You're talking about one of my best friends. We've had a relationship that spanned 30 years. Isn't that amazing? 30 years. We saw our kids grow up, and I love Raymond Smith, and that is your name, isn't that right? Okay. He's special to me, and y'all sure got a good pastor, and you know it. So thrilled to be here. I brought my wife. And Doris, would you stand up? This is my wife, Doris. And she is one happy woman. So welcome, Doris. I kissed her one time. She's been following me around like a Latter-day Saint woman ever since. Got her a bonnet and some boots. I got her gardening, you know. Because kissing is one of my gifts. It's one of my spiritual gifts. And boy, I laid one on her, and she's been following me around 25 years. I want to show you something kind of interesting. For the first time in history, there is 6 generations above ground. We're living longer. Most of y'all didn't plan on being here at this point in your life, you know? Now, understand all these 6 demographics, and let me explain these to you. This is the senior. This is people born before 1925. How many people here were born before 1925? We have anybody in here? There you go. I'm glad you're here. Let's give her a round of applause. You know, you're called the greatest American generation. We owe retirement to them. They created retirement. They expanded life expectancy 30 years. We're just thrilled. They're dying off. I've got a man in my church that was there on D-Day, and we honor him every year. The next generation is called the Builder Generation. This is born between 1926 and 1945. Who's here that way? Bless your heart. Look at all those hands. All right. You're the Builder Generation. Now, right here is the Baby Boomers. These are people born between 1946 and 1964. Let me hear from you. Baby boomers, yeah. My people. Welcome to my humble abode right here. Then right here, these are born between 1965 and 1982. This is Gen X. Where are you at, Gen X? Oh, okay. Bless your heart, you need a hug, don't you? All right, this right here is called the Millennials. This is born between 1982 and 2002. We got any Millennials in this service? Are they still home asleep? Yeah, good job. Now, we just saw, but right here is Gen Z. That sounds like something kind of funky kind of tea you drink. But Gen Z, and here's the thing, you saw all those little kids. Do you realize there's going to be 100 million little kids? This will be the biggest demographic this country's ever seen. And I'll take it a step further. They're not going to look like you, by the way. It's real interesting. And I want to tell you, College Park and Walnut Ridge, where I pastor, have the same thing in common, is that we have a lot of churches right now are scoping age groups, and they don't care about the senior adults. They care about the senior adults and don't care about the young kids. And I want to tell you, Raymond, what you do here and what I'm doing at Walnut Ridge is similar because we go after all 6. And do you know that the church is the only entity that goes after all 6? Now, where's my millennials? Millennials, where are you at? Give me some sound. Okay, good. You had a religious experience up there, didn't you? All right, give me the Gen X. Yeah, okay, good. Here's what I want to show you. See if y'all remember this. When I was alive, you're not going to believe it, we used to only have 3 TV channels. Do y'all remember that day? Do you remember that day? Yeah. Do you remember that we didn't have a remote control, did we? Right here was the remote control. How many of y'all have ever changed the TV channels with some channel locks and pliers? Because that knob on that Phillips would fall off, wouldn't it? Am I right? And then you want to talk about satellite TV? Tinfoil. How many of you, and run it up and down, move. Now, I could have bought a big pipe wrench. You remember getting the pipe wrench on the antenna and go, push it a little more and go, yeah, that's enough. Oh, too far, back it up. You know, everybody goes, I want to go back to the good old days. I don't. I love my switcher. Now, I can't program it, but my kids can. And I can't find it most of the time, but my wife can. But I love, I can watch five things at one time. You know, the good old days. Let me tell you the good old days, and we've lost a lot of good things. Wouldn't you agree? I will tell you one thing we've lost in churches. I remember years ago, you could preach on sin and people knew what you were talking about. Now they don't know what they're talking about. See, we have gone into the relative way of thinking. And now where nobody wants to call sin, sin anymore. And to be honest with you, for the 35 and under, their mouths are shut on this issue. Because they don't want to look like a bigot or prejudice. I wish sin and I wish hell was still real. And hell is real, whether you believe it or not. And a man die without Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You go, Randy, that's kind of narrow thinking. I'm just telling you it's the Bible. That's what he says. We lost the front porch to air conditioning. You know, when we started sweating, and ain't nothing like a big man sweating. And so we go inside and we crank that bad boy up. I want you to know, best money I spend every year is on air conditioning. Would y'all agree? I want you to know, listen, I don't like to sweat. I can't sleep hot. Now, my wife, she likes to sleep under an electric blanket. Not me. We got a dog. I sent my wife to the grocery store to get groceries. She come home with a dog and no groceries. He was in the slammer. His name is Scooter. He's about that tall. Well, for Christmas, I bought her a new electric blanket. And Scooter, every night, crawls in down the covers with her by her feet. And he kind of chills out there. Then later on, he'll come out. Well, the old electric blanket didn't get that hot. So we put the new one on, and George cranked it up on slow barbecue, you know. Scooter crawled down there. About that time, he come out. I said, Doris, you're cooking my dog. Let him go. I love the dog. We've lost the kitchen table to cup holders. And the kitchen table, do you remember it? I remember it. It's where we told stories of families. You remember that? Don't you just miss that? Don't you miss that families would sit around and we would talk and visit and we would tell stories and we would share concerns and all we would laugh? And some of us even got in trouble at the table. If you ever got in trouble at the table, raise your hand. Just buck up and admit it. And we didn't even have napkins. We passed the towel. You go, you're not that old. We're just that backwards what we were. And we would sit around and talk about different things. And I want to tell you, it was some of the richest times. Now you go to the tables, and I bet some of y'all in here could scream at your grandkids. They can't put the phone down long enough to even eat anymore. Amen? My name's Randy. I'm 57, and I hate text messaging. I don't do it. The rule on my staff, you text me, I fire you. Just real simple. My boys text me, I cut them out of the will. I don't care. I hope the last check I write's hot, and it's to the funeral home. I ain't giving them nothing. So, you understand, that just absolutely drives me crazy. And then here's the new thing. The Gen X kids, they look at kids, and they always ask the kids, go, where would y'all like to go to eat, honey? Do you ever remember even getting asked that growing up? I never got asked. One, we never went out to eat. Am I right? I didn't get asked. But let me say this, all you Gen X parents, on behalf of every grandparent here, we are sick to death of McDonald's. We've ate the last chicken nugget. We care anything. And I don't know what part of the chicken's a nugget anyway, you know. Around the table. I want to take you on a trip this morning around the table. Mark chapter 2. Let's read together. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake, and a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. He was walking along. He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Now, Levi, later on, what was his name? Do you remember? Matthew. Levi was a tax collector. Now, by his vocation, by what he did for a living, it alienated him from people. By what he did for a living, it kind of separated him out, for nobody likes the tax man, and he would be a guy that would probably cheat people out of money, and everybody knew that. And Jesus come by and looked at Levi, later Matthew, and he said this, I want you to come and follow me. Now, I want to explain this. The call to follow Jesus, listen to me, never goes away. The call to follow Jesus, the proclamation to leave, to go, and to follow him never, ever, ever goes away. Here's what I've seen happen. Is many people begin that journey of follow me, and they'll walk a little bit, and then they'll stop, and they won't go on any further. See, everybody here, listen to me, everybody here, you have a stop on how far you'll go with Jesus. You have a stop. I have a stop. And I want you to know, you need to understand what that stop is. You need to work through it, and you need to keep going through it. And here's what's amazed me at, I've been doing this a long time. Looks like I'd be a little bit better than I am, but hey, what the heck? God didn't have much starting out with. So in that, what I've been amazed at is in my journey, in my spiritual journey, what I've been shocked at is the call to follow him, to keep putting one step in front of the other, understand there's a price that's got to be paid. Now, I know this, everybody here, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, understand the call to follow Jesus never goes away. But here's what's happened, is we'll take off walking, and about that time, we'll stop. I'll never forget, God says, you want to follow me? I said, you bet. He said, let's go. And I had a point, he said, now are you willing to follow me if you make a decision that isn't popular? What if you get a hate letter out of the deal? What if somebody gets mad at you? What if somebody threatens to take your job? Are you still going to follow me? Is that it? What if somebody didn't thank you? What if somebody didn't put the stars on the attendance record for you? What if somebody didn't speak to you? Go, you know what the biggest sin in churches today is? Bar none. It's the sin of preference. I've got to have it my way. And that's why the church, after going after all these six demographics right here, putting everybody on the same page is like pulling teeth. Bless the music minister's heart. She gets killed. I'll tell you, mine just flinches. He just walks around flinching. Somebody's after him at all times. Because, you know, he's going to make somebody mad. And my all-time favorite is the lady comes up and goes, here's my favorite songs. I want them sung next week. And I go, well, take a lap. Bless your heart, because we're all here for you. So do you understand the call to follow him? Listen, the call to follow him never goes away. And understand the call to follow him, you will get to a place where you'll yell, stop, I'm not taking another step. And I want to tell you what, that'll put the cap on your spiritual condition. Everybody has one. What's yours? What's yours? What's yours? You know, right now among the younger generation, they don't like the word Christian. They call themselves Christ followers. That sounds real good. And they can back that up. There's three times that the word Christian's used, 90 times the word disciples used. But I tell you what, whether you want to call yourself a Christian, whether you want to call yourself a disciple, or a fully devoted follower of Christ, I just know this, whatever you want to call it, the call to follow him never goes away. I'm asking you this. You go, Randy, I'm 85, I know. I wouldn't go to 86 without following Jesus. Now, read this. The next day it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? There's three things that the Pharisees absolutely couldn't overcome. Three things. Now, do you understand the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the religious community of the day, and they couldn't get over the fact that Jesus, here we go, number one, would eat with tax collectors and sinners. They couldn't get over that. Why would I associate with tax collectors and sinners? Man, I've got some lost friends in Mansfield, Texas, that I do things with and I've shared the gospel with. The other day I baptized a 68-year-old man. He was a multimillionaire. And I've been sharing Christ with him for 10 years, and he finally got saved. Now, I caught a lot of grief in that 10 years going, why do you run around with a man like that? I hear that all the time. I've got some renegades that I run with, and some of my, you know, frozen chosen up here, they'll kind of yell at me every now and then and go, why is he doing this and that and the other? Jesus done the same thing, by the way. Have you got lost friends? I tell you, the second thing they couldn't get over it was the fact he'd show up for the party. He did his first miracle at a wedding. Man, he had liked to have a good time. And the third thing they couldn't get away from, even the disciples, they couldn't get away from the fact he had welcomed children. I hear this all the time, goes, does kids really know what they're doing? Do they really understand? I go, I got a master's degree in this, and I still am amazed at salvation. I do know this, the only thing God ever asked out of us is give that we all understand about us to all we understand about him. And my friend, they couldn't get over this. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? So here we see the scene, the disciples, the tax collectors and the sinners, they all gathered at Levi's house. Don't you love that? Levi's house. What do you think they had to eat? It's just a shot in the dark. I believe it was beans and cornbread. How many of y'all like beans and cornbread? Beans and cornbread. If you don't, you're probably not a Christian either, so hey. You probably need to get saved if you don't like beans and cornbread. Something wrong with you. So, I believe they were sitting around eating, and I wonder what the conversation was like. And I'm not convinced it didn't go something like this. I believe Levi leaned over and said, I know every one of you, because I live that same life. I'm a tax collector. I'm lonely. Though I have a lot of money, though I have a lot of power, at night when I lay down, I'm empty. I'm empty. I'm empty. He said, I've met a guy today. His name is Jesus. And he connected the dots in my life. And I found acceptance, love, and a purpose. And guys, let me introduce you to him. He's right here sitting at the table. I'm so glad he didn't lose his table. See, it's what we believe about this table. I want to tell you, y'all got a beautiful table here. There sure is a lot of empty seats, though. You know, there's some people so proud of their table, they go, that's my table. That's my seat. I don't want anybody around me. I don't want any more. You know, my mama, you'd have loved my mama. She died when I was out here that time. I got back, and man, I miss that gal. But I'll tell you about my mama is if you come to our house, the first thing she wanted to know, are you ready? Y'all want anything to eat? Am I right? Listen to the guys back there going, amen, amen. Y'all want anything to eat? Y'all want anything to eat? And you better say yes. And after you saw what was on the stove, you wanted to say yes. Well, I'm just pulling these homemade cinnamon rolls out. Does anybody want one? Oh, you think? You know, I'm diabetic today because of that, you know, but you think? I just fried some homemade apricot pies. Anybody want any? Oh, you think? Really? We just made some chicken fried steak and gravy and mashed potatoes. Yes, I want some, you know. And when we sat down to breakfast, I don't know about at y'all's house, my mama made biscuits and gravy, ham, bacon, and sausage, and some banny egg. And I mean, the yellows on them things were that tall, and I want you to know, hey, let's just punt, church. Let's go eat. What do you say? And I'm telling you, she would put on the hog, and I want you to know, we had a blast. And so one thing about her table, it was always plentiful, and you were always welcome. Make sense? I want to tell you guys, the call is to bring people to the table. That's what it's all about. And there's some that are so proud of their table that they'll go, you know what, we're just looking for the right kind of person to come and sit at our table. I'm so glad Jesus said, for whosoever will. See, I didn't fit in that crowd. I fit in the whosoever will crowd. What we think about that table, and we can look at that table and say, you know what? Man, it's just my family and that's enough. And I'm telling you, that isn't enough. I tell you what we've done at my church is we filled our table up. And I built another table. And we have another feeding time. We do 6 services in 2 different rooms. I've got me and 3 other preachers. Because you know why? We're saying anybody wants to come to our table, you can come on. We're not going to put any roadblocks up. We're not going to say, well, this is our preference to our table. This is preferred seating. Nobody else can have any other table but this kind of table. It's what I believe about the table. I'm so grateful, Levi looked at his buddies and said, would you come and eat with me? Sat down at the table. Doris and I have got a house. And we've got 24 chairs around the table. Don't we, baby? We bought another place. Anyway, it's a long story, but we wanted to know how many people can we put around tables. 7 years ago, my church was just busting the seams, so we relocated to another area to have a bigger table. And I want to tell you, listen, you got a pastor that's looking to say, man, let's build another table. Let's do another table. If we need a kiddie table, let's get a kiddie table. If we need one that's for all the millennials, you know, let's get a table for them and let's get a table for this one over here and this one over here. And you're going to say this, go, well, I don't know everybody at my table. Well, let me tell you, isn't that good? That's not bad. That's good. I don't even know my staff members. I hire somebody that knows them. I don't know. And that's it. It's what I believe about the table. So let me ask you this. Is that your stop? Man, Lord, I'll follow you. We'll sing songs, I'll follow Jesus. But is that our stop? Is that our place where we go and say, you know what, our table's full. We just stop. We just stop. It's what I believe about that place. And I'm telling you, my friend, the command of God is to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. Let's pray together. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you a question. Do you know your stop? Man, I'm going to follow the Lord until somebody gets my seat. Is that your stop? I'm going to follow the Lord until I can't find a parking place. Is that your stop? I'm going to follow the Lord until, you know, I can't get it my way. Is that the stop? Is that the stop? Are you willing to say, God, you be God and I'll follow you? I'll follow you. My friend, God is not through with you. Is the stop that, you know what? I don't know everybody around the table and I'm scared. Do we need to build more tables? Do we need to make a different table? How many of you here today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, know somebody that's lost without Christ? Would you just raise your hand? I've got mine up. I know somebody that's lost. Man, I'm glad you do. And I tell you what, you need to pray for them. They need to find Jesus. They need to find Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. God, I thank you for Jesus and for loving us. And God, I pray that, Lord, that you would just give us an opportunity to invite somebody to the table. And Father, we give you glory, praise, and honor for it's due to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Raymond?
Have a word of benediction following that. Have a response. Greet one another, encourage one another, say a prayer for one another, give a hug, whatever's necessary to encourage one another as we go. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your love that encompasses us, for your love that doesn't turn loose of us. Even though we may try to shake you, Father, you're there for us, and we thank you for that. We pray that as we go from this place, that we would begin the process of discovering what our stop is and turning that over to you. Gracious Father, we pray for Randy and Doris as they're here with us, that you would continue to strengthen and encourage them. For it's all in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen.